It really is a wonderful phrase, isn't it, Hugh?
Means no worries for the rest of your days. Hey, dog, this is a great song, dude.
I think you need to take it to heart. Because you're worried about a lot of things that don't matter.
I'm not worried. I'm just a realist. I just try to. Yeah. I keep it a bean.
But you need to. You need to Hakuna Matata the game this past weekend.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter. They treat it like a preseason game.
Mm-mm.
The play calling, whatever. I mean, we're done now. I mean, we're
play calling.
We are on. Doesn't your notebook say something like it starts with San Francisco? Did you write it?
It does.
Check that notebook. Yeah. I don't know if
you
I believe.
What? Can I see the notebook?
Here's the thing.
You didn't write anything down, did you?
I don't think you brought the notebook.
Here's the thing.
Did you lose your notebook?
I always got the notebook.
You checked out since that Falcon job opened up.
Here's the thing.
I know. Are you putting together your staff over there?
I am not skating my wing. I am putting together my staff.
You know what this is? You know how sometimes when an assistant's going to interview for a head coaching job and they kind of half-ass
Jonathan Gannon,
right? They half-ass the preparation week.
No.
And they cost their team.
No.
Is that what's happening here?
No, I got it all. I got a system already down.
Yeah, right.
I'm going white, black, Asian. White, black, Asian. Because, you know, we gotta diversify.
Whoa. I
feel like there's a lot you're leaving out.
Yeah, I mean, there's more. I mean, it's because.
You know what? I just had a flash.
Probably
Rob, probably when I said that, Rob was like, oh my gosh. He said, okay. But. The point is that I'm gonna have a diverse coaching staff.
That's good.
Perhaps you have room on your staff for a woman. Our next guest, Devin Caney, joining us right now.
Scoops.
Our Eagles sideline reporter, getting ready for her second playoff run on the sidelines with the Eagles. Devin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Look, I just know Rod is tired listening to you. Like I just picture him like every time, you know. Just defeat, hands on knees, like, oh, man.
Nobody wants you to get this Falcon job more.
You know, as soon as it came on my mouth, I was like, oh, my gosh.
You know, Rod is a brand.
What were you talking about San Francisco sightseeing?
Yeah.
Like, what?
No, Rod.
I'm going sightseeing with you, Hugh, if we make it out there.
Dev, if we go, I have a whole day lined up for us. We're gonna have some wine.
We have shows to do Monday to Friday.
But what I'm saying, but we're gonna take some time. We're not gonna get banged up because we're professionals.
No, we're gonna have
some wine. We're gonna get something to eat. We're gonna probably ride a trolley or something. You know what I mean? We got a whole day.
You know,
I'm excited.
Speaking of Rod, I sometimes think about this when Hugh does this stuff or any of us around here, Devin. I mean, Rod is a brand manager, program director. He might as well just put daycare director on his title because that's what it feels like around here, especially with Hugh Douglas. All right, Devin, let's get into a whole bunch of things here with the team and the game coming up. But first, let's kind of go back and then we'll go forward. What was your takeaway from the game on Sunday, the way they approached it, then in the game stuff, right, the way they called the game? A lot of people, I mean, John Ritchie, Hugh even today, frustrated with the way they did it. I guess I made peace with it when they decided not to play the starters, that they didn't really care if they won or lost, so the game itself didn't make me crazy, but they had the chance of the two seed as the game was going on. What did you take away as you watched it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold. So going into the game, I loved that they rested starters, and I still do. Like, I think anyone upset at the fact that they didn't play the starters, like, you need to just look back at that game. And, you know, Brett Toth left with a concussion. Grant Calcaterra has an ankle and knee injury now that we don't know his status for that yet. You know, it's a physical game, and as Nick Sirianni said earlier last week, you know, every time that this team has been in the postseason and has made a run at the Super Bowl in the postseason, they've either had the bye by having the first seed or they've made a bye for themselves. And that's exactly what they did. I don't think any of the starters were, you know, upset that they didn't really have a chance to be out there. That being said, I think the play calling on offense was still a little bit concerning, just when, you know, you peel back the layers and it's been a conversation, you know, all year. And it's been, you know, really about who do we point the finger at for this offense? Is it Jalen Hurts? Is it the O-line not being healthy, not being what they were? Is it Saquon not being what he was? Is it AJ Brown? You know, like, we've really gone through all the possible narratives, but I think in resting the starters, especially on offense, and putting Tanner McKee in, you know, we saw what Tanner did at the end of last season. And I know every season's different, every game's different, but to me, it just didn't look like the play calling and play design was doing Tanner or the offense any favors. I mean, I know that we've talked about it. I'm sure you guys have, you know, the last two days already, but like, why are you throwing it on a third and short? Why aren't you giving it to Tank Bigsby? It's kind of just like those head scratching moments. And that's a little bit concerning to me because it is week 18. So I'm not really sure if it's going to, you know, get any better in terms of making sense.
Yeah, it was a weird one. I mean, to drop back that many times in a close game.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, especially because Tank Bigsby was running the ball really well, and they probably could have won the game just doing that. All right, Devin, let's spin forward now. It is the 49ers. We know the matchup. What's your thought on this one? It's interesting because we've seen this team in some big games here recently, right? The title game in 22, the regular season game December of 23. And they have some of the same characters. I mean, Shanahan, the coach, and Brock Purdy, the quarterback. But there's a lot of new. I mean, a lot of those defensive players are either hurt or gone. And a lot of the offensive players are different outside of McCaffrey. What's your thought on, first thought on Eagles 49ers on Sunday?
I mean, I said it on our pregame show, Joe, as you, actually, as both of you guys know, before this Commanders game. Like, if I had to choose an opponent to face in the first round of the postseason, it would be the 49ers. I know everyone, you know, wanted that higher seed so we could get the Packers. But it's really hard when you break it down, when you look at both the Packers and Rams, and I know that, you know, it's not out of the question that we'll have to face, that the Eagles will have to face the Rams or Packers down the road. But going 4-0 against a team throughout just two seasons is a pretty difficult thing to do. I don't know the statistics on it. I'd be curious to see what they are. But the more familiar you are with a team, I think, can be an advantage, but also just pile on disadvantages because they start to learn what you do well, what you don't do well, especially when it comes to this Eagles offense that we've learned a lot of defenses can figure out pretty quickly, even when they're not super familiar with them. So I like that we have the 49ers in this first wild card round. I think that they've had a very easy schedule. When you look at the Eagles record and the schedule that they've had to overcome for a winning record this season, and you look at the 49ers and what they had to face. And I know, you know, the strength of schedule plays out a little differently than how it's projected. 49ers still had a pretty easy time. I don't think that their record reflects how great of a team they are. Like, I think that the Eagles, if they come out there and they have a good offensive game plan, if their defense plays the way that we've been seeing the defense play, I think the Eagles will be just fine, especially when it comes to that defense on the 49ers offense matchup. Like, well, we saw what Hassan Reddick did to Brock Purdy, what, a few years back. I'm not talking about the most recent 49ers matchup at the link. Let's forget about that one. Let's push that one out of our minds because that was not a fun time. But when Hassan Reddick, you know, got after Brock Purdy, you know, made him leave the game, I think that we could see a scenario similar to that with this defensive front that the Eagles have.
I agree. And look, they're good, and Shanahan's a great coach, so I'm not surprised they're back in the playoffs, but you're right, they played a weaker schedule. And Devin, I thought it was interesting watching the game this past Saturday night when they played the Seahawks, because the Seahawks are, you know, probably a little bit better version of this year's Eagles, but similar in that they're a defensive team and they're led by their defense, and they just crushed the 49ers. I mean, they held them to 3 points. Devin, when I watched that game, I got hope that this Eagles defense, you know, can kind of win this game on its own, the way they're playing and how similar they are to Seattle, because they really, they shut down the 49ers this past Saturday night.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I was talking to someone from our Odyssey's San Francisco station out there, and they're like, well, you know, the 49ers offense is going to want revenge after only putting up 3 points. Okay, well, good luck. Have you seen the Eagles defense? Because that is a lot easier said than done. You know, when you already don't really have the strongest receivers in the 49ers offense, yes, you have Christian McCaffrey. We've seen our defense do pretty well against some of the best running backs in the league throughout this season, though. You know, they did a pretty good job containing, outside of that Bears game, pretty good job of containing guys like Jahmyr Gibbs, of James Cook. That doesn't concern me too much. Brock Purdy seems like a quarterback that you can, you know, get in his head a little bit if you just get in his, you know, point of view, wherever he's looking, and you have Jalen Carter right there. Brock Purdy's the type of quarterback that I think they can really get to quickly if they have a fast start on defense. For me, it's the offense. And if this offense, and I don't even want to say just the running game, because we've seen a different version, it feels, of this Eagles offense like every single week. So it really just depends on what version, you know, comes out on Sunday. But Jalen Hurts has proven that he performs his best under the brightest light. So as long as the offense is clicking and our defense does what our defense has been doing, I think the Eagles will be just fine.
Devin, what's your take on the Lane Johnson situation? It's kind of interesting. You know, he got hurt a long time ago now, right? It was November, I think it was
He's 11.
Right. So it's a long time, right? Yeah. So it was, and they didn't put him on the IR, which a lot of us thought means, all right, he could be back, you know, in less than that 4-week span. He has not come back since. I understood why they didn't do it after they clinched the division or even this past week because they were going to rest guys. But now there was a report this morning from Jeff McClain that he's expected to practice tomorrow for the first time since he got the injury. But Jeff said he still has to test his right foot before the team makes a decision on his availability on Sunday's game. Devin, what's your take on all this? Because it feels like it's still uncertain if he's going to play, which is a little surprising considering how long he's been out and the fact they didn't put him on the IR.
Yeah, I mean, it's been surprising, you know, not seeing him at practice still. And like you just mentioned, it's been since week 11. It was encouraging. He was on the sideline on week 18. He hasn't even been on the sidelines for these Eagles games. Of course, you know, when you have an away game and you're injured, you're working your way back, usually aren't going to travel with the team. But even, you know, when Jalen Carter was out, he was on the sidelines. And that was a little bit concerning to me. I will say, you know, if we want to see the silver lining in this, in this newest report, what do we know Nick Sirianni loves to do? He loves a competitive advantage. So I think that could also be a factor here, because he's also said in weeks past that Lane is, you know, putting a ton of work in behind the scenes. It just might not be at practice because he can't, or he hasn't been able to fully participate. He seemed in really good spirits on the sideline on Sunday. So I'm hopeful. I think that they really need him if they want the offense to get going and do what they need to do against 49ers. So hopefully he plays. If not, then I would, you know, that decision to play Fred Johnson as much as they did on Sunday would probably come into question as well, because Fred hasn't been playing, you know, up to the expectations I think he even has for himself. He's been frustrated with his play. So I think having Lane Johnson back would be massive for the Eagles O-line. I mean, that's an obvious statement, but you just hope he can be 100%.
Devin, last one for you. Any advice for our guy Hugh Douglas? As I'm sure you saw, there's a lot of stories out there. I mean, he's thrown his hat in the ring to be the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, I just hope that you make it past preseason. I wouldn't, you know, talk about any, you know, problematic topics. Maybe keep that San Francisco plan to yourself for now. Yeah, you're going to do well.
Yeah, as long as I'm mentioning going to get no lemon pepper wings and stuff like that in Atlanta.
Well, I think that'd be
assumed. You're going to go out. Yeah. Your first message to the team is going to be defense doesn't win championships, and it doesn't matter.
Hey, you know what? You know what the ironic thing is, Dev? You know what the ironic thing is? The ironic thing is the Falcons have a pretty good defense, too.
Not when you get there.
They were historically, they had the most sacks in the history of the Falcons.
You're going to trade away all the good defensive players for offensive guys?
I'm going to go ahead and roll with the defense because they're young and they're cheap. I'm going to build them the same way.
You can do what Chip Kelly did for the Eagles, but for the Falcons defense.
Yeah, I'm going to, Chip Kelly name.
He'll be public enemy number one down there in Atlanta pretty quickly. Devin, we appreciate it. We'll see you on Sunday for the pregame show. Have a good week, and we'll talk soon. There she goes, Devin Caney there. Yeah, I mean, she's right. The fact that she said good luck making it out of preseason, I would take the under on the odds to be the first coach fired next year.
Well, especially if you go in trying to win those games like you suggested.
Well, first of all, this was a regular season game that I was talking about.
Well, not really.
It was.
Now,
it was
when you put those players out,
I think I have to have what they call a buffer. Got to have somebody that's in the media. I might try to hire Bob away from the Eagles, but I don't think he'll come to Atlanta.
You know, you would think you'd be media savvy enough. You're in the media.
No. Yeah, I'm not. I'm
well,
not.
You are. I mean,
I'm not media savvy.
Yeah, you're a talk show host.
Listen, man, I have a side of me. I have a side where, you know, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns, you know?
That's not head coach stuff.
Yep, no.
I mean, it kind of is.
You're digging your grave.
Hold up. Nick Sirianni's done well. I'm just the worst version
again,
of him.
But he's just a coach. You have been a talk show host for years.
I mean, I'm working on it, and I have to have somebody.
I mean, you better have a better first opening press conference than Nick Sirianni.
I will. I will be
it
articulate.
It can't be worse.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
And you know what I'm going to do, Kyle? I'm going to write it down because I think my safe space in my lane is I have to have words that are carefully crafted for me. So that I can just say, and when they start to deviate away from, you know, what the core message is, then I'll just stop talking. Be like, hey, press conference over. when they start asking questions about, you
just
know,
leave the podium.
Yeah, just leave. Be like, hey, man, that's enough. I didn't write anything down for those questions.
Didn't prep for that one. See you guys. All right, 215-592-9494. Would you be surprised if the Eagles won the Super Bowl? I would not. Now, are they going to dominate every game? No, they're probably all going to be 23-20 kind of games, 20-17. But I would not be surprised based on this NFC playoff field, based on this Eagles pedigree, Vic Fangio, the defense, the weak AFC field, and the fact that, you know, teams that go back-to-back, that second year is typically, it is, it's choppier that second year. We all know it. I wouldn't be surprised. Hugh Douglas over here would be. Where do you come down? Keith in California is up on WIP. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, I would be shocked, and this is really why Hugh Douglas is head coaching material, because he's the only person that's making sense. Your argument, you just allied past Hugh's point. We're not going to get a new play caller for this so-called new season, Joe. It's not going to happen. So you have to look at some of the arrogant decision-making. The enemy to this defense is unanswered points, and we go stretches upon stretches of unanswered points, keeping these guys out there. And that's why they let up 14 points or so in the fourth quarter. When you have play callers who will not take points and have gone through all of these games and they've watched all of this happen and they still don't take points, when they know that the thing that they must do is get points, you think that's going to change in the postseason?
Well, it may.
I don't think so.
It may not. But I guess my point on this past Sunday, Keith, is the way they approached that game to me is not something I could spin forward to the postseason. They treated the game like it was a preseason game or a showcase or whatever the hell they were doing. And they made the decision during the week that the win didn't matter. So then I can't yell about how they coached it when they already told me they don't care if they win the game.
That take is wild, Joe.
It's their take. It's their
tic-tac-toe with a 5-year-old at a restaurant.
Hold on,
letting him win. That's not how it works in the NFL.
They told me that. Forget my take on it. When they sat the starters, they told us the win doesn't matter.
But the in-game play calling did, and throwing the ball.
Maybe to you and I. Obviously not to them.
Yeah, he ain't in that position to be doing that though.
But they obviously thought they were.
Thank you, Hugh. Thank you.
He ain't that dude, man. He can't do that, man.
But I don't think our objective aligned with their objective. I think that's where the discrepancy is. We wanted to win the game.
What was the objective? To get Kevin Potato extra play calling, extra passing.
Can I give you two thoughts on maybe what Kevin Potato was thinking on Sunday?
Disrespectful.
I mean, perhaps, as someone recklessly speculated, they wanted to prove a point to the starting quarterback that we could throw the ball around here, and that didn't work out this past game, obviously. Or maybe the front office was saying, let's showcase the backup quarterback so we could trade him for a second round pick this offseason. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. But I think we all realize, Keith,
your argument is, I don't know what they were doing, so I'm going to guess that they were doing the dumbest possible thing to do with the second seed on the line
and a bye. No, but Keith, you're missing the point. Keith, can we all agree on this? If they actually wanted to win the game, the starters would have played. How is this debatable?
Because they felt you're facing University of San Diego alumni Josh Johnson. They felt that they had a good chance to win the game with who they had out vis-a-vis who the Commodores had out there, and they were correct.
So you're right, and the quarterback, but you're disrespecting the other players in the Commanders. Terry McLaurin is a star player. Deron Payne's a star player.
I had Terry McLaurin in fantasy this year. He didn't do anything. He is not a star player, Joe. He was good last year.
He is a star player. Compared to Kelee Ringo, he's Jerry Rice, right? So like
I'm Jerry Rice compared to Kelee Ringo.
That's my point. You're making my point.
You're reducing it all.
No.
No.
Keith, once they don't play the starters, they already have acknowledged that the win doesn't matter. So, like, how can I look at the play calling and say, well, now they can't win in the playoffs?
So if the win doesn't matter, meaning you're comfortable either way. You win or you lose.
That's what they told us, right?
Right, I agree.
Okay.
So your logic by that extension is that then they go into the game calling the most ridiculous game and play calling as possible because they don't care. And I'm saying those two things don't follow.
Okay, I would follow the track of logic that you and Hugh have if this is the way they called every game. How many times have we thrown the ball that many times the whole year? Once, maybe? Out of 17 games? Once?
Chargers.
I think that's it.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So but that's not how...
We're speculating about their decision-making that is just terrible. And then having the hope that the next time their decision making is going to be great because now they want to win.
No, I'm not saying it's going to be. I have baked in who Petullo is. Keith, good phone call. I mean, guys, everyone knows what this offense is, right? We all watched it the whole year.
Yeah,
we all saw Petullo.
Yes,
yes. Do the Eagles have like one of the top three or four odds to win the Super Bowl in the whole league?
Yeah, I think they did.
Right. So like, they didn't get Kevin Petullo on Sunday. Everyone.
No, but Kevin Petullo, I think it's safe to say, has underachieved as far as offensive coordinator. Well, okay, let me pull that back because I don't want anybody to say, no, Kevin Petullo fault. This offense as a whole has underachieved, right?
Yes.
And
but I know that already.
Okay, we both know it. So my question to you is this, simple question. What makes you so arrogant that you think you, with your offense underachieving as much as it could, that you could go into a game with lesser receivers – and throw the ball as much as you did. That you don't see a problem with that?
No.
You
I don't. I don't see one in terms of how it affects the team winning the Super Bowl. I guess that if we were just arguing about Sunday, okay, great. We could argue about Sunday. I can't say, because of what happened against the Commanders and Josh Johnson, now they can't beat the 49ers.
You could argue that game just didn't even happen.
I agree. I wish it didn't.
It's so pointless.
You two talk about me putting my head in the sands. I cannot believe y'all came up in this morning doing that. Y'all are ridiculous.
Nobody played.
Joe?
What are we talking about? This is the equivalent of the last preseason game.
Joe, your strength and conditioning job is in jeopardy right now. Your job is in jeopardy.
Should I put up a poll? Did Week 18 matter?
Yes, please do. It didn't matter.
I guarantee you I win this poll.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. You're getting cooked
on another $2?
No, unless we're coping.
You know what this reminds me of a little bit? Kyle, you'll remember this. There was a lot of angst. Now, I'm not saying that's definitely going to lead to a Super Bowl, but there was a lot of angst coming out of week, I guess it was 17 then, because we're only playing 16 games. Kyle, remember the Cowboys game in 17? Foles played for a quarter, looked like crap in the cold.
Yeah.
They put Sudfeld in. I think they scored three points in the game.
We got shut out, right?
Did we get shut out? Maybe it was 6-0 or something like that. It hurt to watch it. It didn't matter. None of this matters. What matters is can they go beat the Niners on Sunday? You guys are unbelievable with this.
Unbelievable.
We got Keith from California. We're having a logic pretzel debate over here. How much the game mattered on Sunday.
He said a logic pretzel.
I mean, if you want to be down on Petullo, tell me about the second half against the Bills. The game against the Commanders was just so meaningless.
There's so much more data we could use.
I know.
About why the offense stinks in Week 18.
You couldn't score. That's crazy.
Couldn't score?
No. You couldn't beat them, I should say.
They were playing their starters and we weren't. I mean, it was that simple.
And you still, I feel like we still should have, the game shouldn't have been what it was.
Okay, I get it. But let's say they had done everything the way everyone wanted. They ran the ball. They won 35-3. Would it really have changed anything about Kevin Petullo?
I think it would have made you feel better about his play calling.
Oh, my God. That's copium.
That is not copium,
Oh,
Joe.
Wow. We beat the Commanders with our backups. Now Jalen Hurts won't go a half without throwing a complete pass.
It's safe to say.
This is
when I put my staff together, he won't be on it because
Petullo?
that performance right there was pathetic.
That
was the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, it's where are you? You're so arrogant. Like y'all don't get the fact that he was so arrogant that he went in there and he's like, hey, I'm with the backups. I'm gonna throw the ball 50 times.
Because all right, 215-592-9494.
He threw the ball 60 times.
We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. Nick Sirianni's conversation with the morning show
games 60 times.
Did they throw 60 times?
Yes.
That number feels a little bit fudged. All
right. They did not.
Your phone calls. Midday show. We'll hear from Sirianni as well. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Step upon me. This song feels relevant right about now.
Well, it's Nick's song. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're going
to
hear from Nick Sirianni.
I'm destined to be.
That's right. We're going to hear Nick Sirianni's conversation with the morning show this morning, which I guess did not include a breakdown of the play calling inside the red zone Sunday.
Dang it.
That's what I'm here for. I mean, that's what Hugh's fired up about, and that's why we're...
I just don't understand the arrogance behind We get them next week. That's crazy.
But once you all right, I'm going to stop because we keep arguing the same. But once you decide it doesn't matter, do the details matter?
It does matter though. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are the backups? Are they NFL professionals?
Yeah. Mm.
Are they the best of the best? See, this is where.
Well, it's true. Some of them might not be on a roster next year.
But they are, regardless of that, they are the best of the best. Because if they weren't, then everybody would be out there playing. They are the best that are the best available at that time.
Yeah, sure. but it's all relative. They're the worst. They're actually technically the worst of the best.
And the bottom line,
considering their backups.
Yeah. I've never been a part of a regime or team that found losing acceptable. I just, and to me that.
You mean you play for the Jets?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this is true, but losing was not acceptable.
They told us it was acceptable when they benched everybody.
That's the point.
That's not how it works.
But they did. All right. Anyway, let's go back to the phone lines here, and then we will hear from Nick Sirianni. By the way, a couple polls up on our Twitter today. Would you be surprised the Eagles won the Super Bowl? I would not. You would, based on the, I think a lot, but certainly the up and down nature of the offense this year. And did Week 18 matter? I'm excited for the results of that poll. Art in Philly is up on WIP. Let's get Art up here. What's up, Art?
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
You
guys are the greatest. You're number one. The guy's coming up second. They're not bad either. But the morning show, forget it. Look.
Cut that audio. I need that. No, go ahead, Art.
Well, here's what I want to say to you, Mr. You over there. Did you ever hear of Jim Cramer on the Stock Channel?
You mean the dude, the Eagles fan. Yeah, the Eagles fan.
Yeah. Well, he's got buttons over there. He's got buttons. And when the people call up and they ask him about a stock, he says, buy, 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 buy. Pushes the button. It goes, buy, 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 buy. He pushes another button. It goes, sell, 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 sell. They got a button for you. They know nothing.
Huh? Did you ever hear that one?
Wait, man, I'm listening. Yeah. The floor is yours. I was listening.
He's trying to workshop this. Go ahead, Art.
All right, anyway, look, let's talk about the game. First of all, coming into the beginning of the year, our offensive line was injured to begin with.
That's right. Dickerson, Juergens.
What are you expecting to do? He had to rest these guys.
That's right.
He has to rest them. And all the negative talk about Ertz. Like, look, I didn't like him back in the day. I thought he – but look, I love the guy now. We got a guy. Look, and the other thing, the game was just a showcase to see what they had. They're showcasing.
It was a showcase game. It was basically a preseason game to increase the value of Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee stinks.
That's how you feel about it. That's not the case.
That's how they felt about it. Forget
Tanner
me.
Tanner McKee stinks. Come on, he lost value. We lost value. Yeah,
well, he didn't gain value. I'll tell you that much. Not in that game.
What are we going to get for him now? Look, I trust the general manager. I trust Sirianni. So he's one of the best. That's all I could say. We're going to do. Look, we're going to kill the San Francisco.
Tell him, Art. Tell him, Art.
We're going to kill them. They got no owners. Their linebackers are not playing.
You know, one of their linebackers that made their team in the end of the preseason, like their starting linebackers, all of them are hurt. Every single linebacker.
And they are going to try to win this game.
You ever go to the horse track, the races, how the horses are chomping at the bit to get going. They want to go. Well, that's what the Eagles are going to be like. They're going to be chomping at the bit to tear this team apart. San Francisco's going down, and we can beat everybody. Seattle included.
Feels like a Friday around here. Art, we love you, buddy. Good phone call. He's not kidding around.
How could you
hear that and be surprised they're going to win the Super Bowl? How do you do that?
I'm being realistic. I feel like if this team, I don't think this team is going to lose. Right. Let me say that first. But if they do, it's probably going to be, I mean, where we how everybody loses, but we're going to be outscored. We're going to probably peter out in the second half. That concerns me.
I get it. I also wouldn't be surprised they win the whole thing.
I would be happy if they did. Mm. I would definitely be happy.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised.
I would definitely be surprised. Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on this morning with Joe and John. Here is their conversation, including some conversation about Lane Johnson and N'Kobe Dean, their status for Sunday.
And the head coach now for the fifth time entering the postseason in his 5 years as the head coach of the Birds going to the playoffs is Nick Sirianni. Nick, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning,
so,
coach.
Nick, lots to get to here today, and Happy New Year to you. So you chose the rest thing. I thought it was the right decision. Some did not. I'm curious from your standpoint if you can speak to how much value you place on rest, the impact on a football team. You've done it entering the playoffs a few times. What have you noticed when your starters don't play the final game and the positive impact it can have on your team in that first playoff game and beyond?
Yeah, sure. You know, and then that is, I understand that some people are going to think it was a good decision. Some people aren't, but those are the things that you have to, that's why you go through a process. And that's why at the end of the day, you do what you think's best for the football team, because you know, there is going to be opinion each way, and you go through, and you use all the people in your building, you go through the process, and at the end of the day, you do what you think's best for your team. And you know, rest has shown to be good for us. You know, we rested, you know, we had the bye week in 2022. We were able to create a bye week, last year. And so, to be able to go in fresh, healthy, you know, they talk about that a lot with like schedules. Like, this team comes off of this many days of rest, it's good for them, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been good for us. And so, a good physical, mental rest last week for our guys, so we can be as fresh as we possibly can going into the playoffs. And I think, you know, you've seen us do this before. You've seen us go into through long marathons of seasons with a lot of starters available. And I think that, you know, I think that it's just a good process throughout the whole organization to help me end up making those decisions. Because at the end of the day, I got to make the decisions. And that's why I'm so thankful we have so many good people here to help me make those decisions and to help me and to give me perspective. Yeah, that's where we were, and obviously, you know, we made that decision, and I don't go back on that decision. And now we are on to the next game. That decision is long gone, yeah, and passed, and now we are on to the San Francisco 49ers.
How did the decision to play Devontae come about, Coach?
Yeah, you know, Devontae and I talked. And we did that with Devontae in 2021 as well. We let him play a couple plays. You know, I think he played 9 plays in this game to get the rookie record. With a receiver, it's a little different. It's a different situation than like if Jalen was going to play, or if like for instance Saquon last year. You know, Smitty can go in without everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. Smitty can go. You can be.
You don't have to use the O line like you would with back.
That's right. And so, you know, again, like with Saquon, everyone would have had to go in and play last year. With Smitty, a little different with wide receiver. We can structure it the way we need to keep him safe. I was a little upset with him that. And I told him, make sure you get out of bounds. And he caught that very first play of the game, and he lowered his shoulder to get a couple extra yards. But, you know, I wanted him to go out of bounds on that particular one. But, we were safe with that, and there's always a risk. We understand that. But, you know, it's just a little different situation with a receiver, and he wanted that 1,000 yards was important to him. As a coach, you know, your job is to win football games first and foremost, period. But you also get into coaching because you want to help people achieve their goals, you know, because coaches did that for you when you played. And, you know, both team-wise and individually. And that was an opportunity we were able to do. And, that's why we did that.
Because you had the second team plan, how hard does that make it as a coach to evaluate a game like Sunday's game? And how much did the second team underperform against the Commanders based upon your expectations?
You know, I think there was a lot of good things. Obviously, we didn't win the football game, and so you're disappointed in that. But I thought there was a lot of good things, and there's a lot of good moments to teach from. And what I think too is like when some of those guys that go in and play, and have some and build some momentum, that serves you well for playoffs too. Like, for instance, you know, last year, Jahan Dotson had a really good, you know, I look up on our pictures on our wall for players of the game. Jahan Dotson last year in that Giants game was one of the players of the game on offense. And, you know, that really gave him some confidence and did some good things that when he was called upon in the playoffs, making some big plays, both in the, you know, blocking and receiving. And so, you know, those things propel you into the playoffs of, you know, with some of those things and some of the guys that are going to have to play and make plays when they're called upon in that. And so, you know, that's always a positive. And every time you step out, I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if you're playing with backups or you're playing with starters. Every time you step on the football field, whether that's in practice, whether that's in a game, that is a great evaluation tool, for us and great experience for those guys.
Nick, let's get to the playoffs here. 5 days, you play the 49ers. So first thing is, and I know you tread carefully with what you say, but tell us Lane and N'Kobe are going to play. What's the status report on those guys?
Yeah, they're working. You know, we'll put an injury report out tomorrow.
Get them out there!
Get that to you guys. But those guys are battling their tails off to get themselves back. They love this game. They love their teammates. They love this city. They love the Eagles organization, and they're doing everything they can do to be back on the field as soon as they can. And you know, like I said, we don't have to give out anything quite yet, and we're still obviously still got another day until we practice. And then that injury report come out, and then you guys will kind of find that some of that stuff out.
There it is. Hey, Nick, 2022 and 23, you played this squad, some parts the same, some different. How much stock do you put into what they did against you in 22 and 23 as you prepare? And how much is more just about, you know, this season and the last couple of weeks and what they now do with the players they now have?
Yeah, good question. That's a really good question. Every time you go into a game, you're putting a ton, you're watching everything that they've done in this season, especially this late in the season, but you're going back, right? You're going back to you're going back to critical situations, from 2022, 23, 24. Shoot, you know, Kyle's been the head coach there for a long time. So you're going back to critical situations since he took over. And then, of course, you always go back and watch your game, which I'm anticipating that they do the same, right? You always go back and watch your game. So you watch the 22 game, you watch the 23 game, you watch your Jets game against Coach Sala, you know, who was the coordinator there, or, you know, was in charge of
the
defense there when he was the head coach. You go back and you watch some things that some of their other assistants who have been coordinators, you look at everything. You leave no stone unturned. That's, you know, there's a reason coaches don't get a lot of sleep. You know, they're studying everything. They're looking for every angle. And so, yeah, you look at everything. I have the utmost respect for this football team. You know, they've had sustained success for a long time. Credit goes to that organization and Kyle. Like I said, just have a ton of respect for him, and the job that he's done. And then, you know, they got good players, and they've had good players there. They've just done a good job. So, well-respected opponent, and, you know, we're going to have to do the right things throughout the week to get ourselves ready to play our best football game.
This 49ers team, they were held to 3 points on Saturday, so they have that extra day. I'm sure that's somewhat of a concern, the extra rest that they get. But how did the Seahawks hold this team to 3 points, and how replicable is that by our guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, I take our defense over any defense. I love our defense and the things that we've been able to do these past couple years. And, you know, and so this is going to be a challenge. This is a really good offense with really, you know, Kyle does a great job calling it and scheming it. They got really good players, you know, Christian McCaffrey, awesome back, you know, Kittle, you know, all the guys, Purdy, Trent Williams. They got a lot of really good playmakers over there. So we're going to have to, you know, there is no big secret. You know, we're going to have to play with great fundamentals. We're going to have to block the struck. We're going to have to tackle. We're going to have to put the guys in positions to succeed. We're going to have to be in positions, you know, be in the right spots, and play our rules. And so, you know, that's, you know, and we're going to have to be physical, and we know they're going to be physical. And so, this is exciting. This is why you do this. Everybody in the playoffs got there for a reason, because they had a great, regular season, and it's going to be a battle, and I'm excited about that.
So I've seen a phenomenon occur here where fans and even co-hosts who undervalued Jalen Hurts after this last game, they've sort of changed their tune. So I wonder if something similar happened within the team. Did McKee's struggles remind the team of Jalen's importance moving forward?
You know, again, you mentioned, you know, fans and co-hosts or whoever you said right there.
I guess that's me.
That would be you. That wasn't that
just failed. Just because that's an outside opinion, that we don't we have so much faith in him, and that doesn't mean it's an inside opinion. We know what we have there, and we know how much of a competitor he is, how good of a football player he is. And wouldn't want anybody else going to battle with as the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts.
Nick Sirianni with us here, getting ready, of course, for Sunday. Nick, let's talk for a moment about Saturday. I'm curious. You'll be about 24 hours from kickoff on Saturday. Do you get to peek or more than peek at the two NFC games that go on that, you know, you have a vested interest in? Or is it 1,000% preparation for Sunday and you don't even watch those games in real time on Saturday?
You know, obviously, we're football fans too, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, that time of the week, you're going through, like, even when I go home, you know, on a Thursday, like, and I'm doing something at home, I'm still working on the stuff for the game that we're about to play, but I'll have a football game on in the background, and I might stay up later than normal to watch that. And it's the same thing there. You'll be still continuing to do the little things that you do and going through your routine. But of course we love football. Like, I don't care who's playing football. I'll watch anything that has to pertain to football. And so you'll watch that as you go, but you'll be thinking and your mind will be completely on the San Francisco 49ers. But you know, as you watch games, you're like, oh, that was a great play by that guy. What an awesome job on block destruction. Oh, that situation right there. You put yourself in, as a coach, you kind of put yourself through those things. What would I do in this situation? What would I do in that? And you might look at something like, oh, I like that scheme and how they did that. Maybe that's something we can look at. So those are kind of the things you go through as a coach when you're watching football games too.
Nick, final thing here. You know, you've been coaching now a lot of playoff games for the Eagles, and congrats to you on that. And you're going to be, and most of them have been home games. I'm curious, what is it like for you as a head coach? And I really want to pump up to people that are listening right now that are going to be driving down to the Link on Sunday to watch the game and be there. What is it like for you as a head coach 30 seconds before a playoff game at the Link, knowing that 75,000 fans are there going crazy to cheer you guys on? What is that advantage like, and what is that feeling like as a coach, know you about to embark on a game with that on your side?
Yeah, sure. You know you have the advantage, right? Everything matters, and it is a huge advantage. And I know and I believe that our city more of an advantage than other cities because of the passion and how loud it's going to be and how hostile it's going to be. And so, you know, it's awesome. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. We'll feed off that atmosphere. Can't wait for that. And we know it's going to be difficult on the opposing side to deal with the noise and with the, you know, with the fans. So, can't wait. It's just, you know, you get excited about every game. You really do. It's like I get to coach in the National Football League. I mean, this is unbelievable. But that playoff, sometimes, again, you don't treat one game bigger than the other, but the playoffs just, it always, there's a couple more cameras. There's a couple more fans on the sideline pregame. Everything's just ticked up a little bit, and that's awesome. That is awesome. That's so important, though, that we go through our process and stay level-headed through that and be mentally tough through that, you know, because the stakes are higher because you win and you move on, you lose and you go home. And so this is why you're trying to play your best football by the end of the year, and that's our plan.
Nick, you said can't wait. I'm going to raise your can't wait to a famous
can't wait.
We're all looking forward to Sunday. Nick, good luck to your squad on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Joe.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach.
All right, there it was, Nick Sirianni on with the morning show. Good interview. A couple things that stood out. So Nick was noncommittal, Hugh, in the injury update for both N'Kobe Dean and Lane Johnson. So we got the update from Jeff McClain earlier this morning that he's going to practice tomorrow. We'll see. They'll see how he comes through practice and how he looks. Now, while we were listening to Nick Sirianni, Vic Fangio speaking to the media currently said he expects N'Kobe Dean to play. Hugh, let's unpack this.
Vic didn't get the memo.
That we're going to put out a practice report.
Well, I guess it's later in the day, so it don't
matter. No, I think you're right. I think Nick does. We'll put out a practice report. Vic says what's on his mind. I think you're right about that. All right. How big of a deal is it if one or both can't play for you in this game?
Oh, it's a big deal if N'Kobe can't play. I think for me personally, N'Kobe's the equalizer. You know, when you talk about that run game and what I'm worried about, I feel like that's the reason why. N'Kobe's the reason why teams haven't been able to attack the perimeter, in my humble opinion, as the middle linebacker, because he's always shooting gaps, and you have to account for him. He's a feisty little dude, man. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for his game. When you talk about what he's been through as far as all the injuries that he's had and what he's had to fight through and still out there doing his thing on the football field. I don't know what his future holds, man, but I would venture to say it's going to be a tough decision to make when it comes to what to do with N'Kobe Dean. I mean, seriously, I think that highly of him as a player.
So I agree with you in that they need N'Kobe in this game. Let's cross our fingers that the hamstring is good and holds up. Obviously, they need Lane. I mean, we all want Lane to play.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Lane holds up in practice, how he looks. I think N'Kobe might actually be a bigger guy to get back this weekend for two.
I think so.
I think we're on the same page. Two reasons. One, the 49ers run the football a lot, right? They Shanahan wants to run the football. They run it with McCaffrey a ton. So to me, the run defense has been better with him in there rather than Jihad Campbell. And Hugh, they also throw the ball over the middle. They throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey. And I remember early in the season, didn't it feel like Jihad was getting kind of caught in coverage? And
he peeking. Yeah. I think that's what the linebackers call it. That's what he called it, peeking in the backfield or going for the pump fakes and stuff like that.
I just feel like if Jihad is out there, and look, he's promising, and he's probably going to be a star player as time goes on.
Oh, no, he is.
And he's had good moments. I just feel like if it's a rookie linebacker out there, Shanahan's going to try to take advantage of that and isolate him. I just trust that Kobe a little bit more just overall in this game. So let's hope that Vic is right and N'Kobe plays and holds up, and we'll find out about Lane Johnson as the next couple days go on. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls coming up. Would you be surprised if the Eagles won the Super Bowl? I would not. I know it has not been their best regular season. It's been choppy at times. The offense has had complete just like spurts where they don't do anything. But I wouldn't be surprised if they get on a run here, specifically based on who they're playing, this defense precedent. I think they could do it. And I don't underestimate the heart of a champion. Hugh Douglas over here. He'd be surprised. Where do you?
I would be.
I know you.
No heart of a champion.
I don't know what that's.
Where
about.
Do you come down? All right, your phone calls us. Plus, the Eagles this weekend could they have a coach or two's job on the line on Sunday? Interesting answer from Jaws this morning. If things don't go well, could someone be out of here by Monday? We'll talk about that next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.